A few weeks ago, we started a message on assurance. Should have finished that last week, but was not able to be here. So we'll take up where we left off last time. And we've been reading some verses in 1 John 5 concerning having the assurance of the Lord as our personal Savior. When you read 1 John, you'll find that John is a positive writer. You'll find that he says, "We know," over and over and over again. I just looked up here on my Bible on my phone, and 12 times in the book of 1 John, we have the little phrase, "We know." And so John was a preacher of understanding. He was a messenger of assurance. And thank God tonight, there's nothing better to have than salvation. And the next thing just as good is to know that we have it. And praise the Lord, we know what the Lord has done for us. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 says, "And hereby we do know that we know Him." I'm glad I know Him. And I have made the statement. Others have said, "We know that we know that we know that we know we're saved." And that's a continual process of knowing the Lord. And over again in the little book of 1 John, only has 5 chapters, John uses that phrase, "We know." And I'm glad we can know some things. I'm glad the Lord has not left us in the dark. He has not put us in suspense for that we do not know, but we are people of understanding. Look at verse number 20. We'll sort of use this tonight as our text verse in 1 John chapter 5, let's leave verse 19 and 20. Verse 19 says, and here's that phrase, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." Doesn't take a very smart person to realize the whole world lies in wickedness. Everywhere around us we see that. And so John says, says that we know we are of God, and also we know the world lies in wickedness. Verse number 20, "And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ, that is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Amen. So John ends up his little book here of what we call 1 John. He ends that up. It says that we know the Son of God has come, and we know that He has given us an understanding. And we can understand some things because of what Christ has done for us and what He has given to us and the knowledge that is portrayed to us in the Scripture. 2 or 3 weeks ago, we started this message concerning assurance and knowing Him. And the very first thing we dealt with is that we have full assurance and knowing God because of what we are. We are saved. We are born again by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God moves in our heart and makes us a new creature. And salvation is a very present thing that takes place. I'm glad I can talk about it. It happened years ago, but it's just as real right now as it was then, because He continually works in our heart and gives us that knowledge. And so our position is that we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. We're sanctified. We simply have been taken out of one kingdom and put into another kingdom. The word sanctified means we've been set aside and we've been placed in a new kingdom. I'm glad we're in the kingdom of light tonight and not the darkness. And so we have that. We have been washed and sanctified by the grace of God, and we've been justified. The sentence against us of death has been not commuted, but thank God we've been forgiven, and we have justification by the Lord. And then Colossians chapter 2 says that we are complete in Him. We're a complete creature, body, soul, spirit, and the Lord has saved us, and we are in Him. The second thing that we dealt with, that assurance comes from not only knowing our position, but knowing our possessions. What the Lord has given to us, the blessings that He has bestowed upon us. We went through this thing of peace and freedom, eternal life and forgiveness of sins, and We have the Spirit of God that lives in our heart, and we have the Word of God that we hold in our hand and we hide in our heart. We are knowledgeable that we have a high priest that's touched with the very problems of our life. I'm glad the Lord knows how I feel because He was a man. I'm glad the Lord knows our hurts because He was an individual like we are. And so therefore He is our high priest, and He can deal with all those issues that we have in our life. And not only that, but He's our advocate. We went over that portion of the work of the Lord in our life, that He pleads our case, and He is our advocate. The Bible says, "My little children, these things," and this is also is in 1 John chapter 2, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father." And that advocate is named there, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And so He is our advocate. He's our go-between. He's our lawyer that pleads our case and knows everything about us in eternity. So those are the things that we possess. Now tonight I want to deal with the last two things. And number three, the first one tonight, is the perception that we have in the things that we believe. You see, there are certain things that we hold dear to our heart. These are things that we believe. These are things that we can go to the Scripture and say, "I believe this because this is what the Bible says." I was looking on some church websites and just seeing, and it's amazing what different churches, how they state certain things of their beliefs. And we tonight, we have certain standards. We have certain things that we believe and hold to be very true and very important. We have belief about our Scriptures, the Word of God. We have belief about who God is, and He is one God, but yet manifest in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These are the things that we believe. That's what we have in our eye. That's our perception. That's what we look at everything else. We look through our doctrinal beliefs and the things that we have in our heart, the Holy Spirit. We also have a understanding of who the devil is, Satan, that adversary of the child of God. We believe certain things about creation that other people do not believe. Other churches do not stand where we stand on certain things, but I believe we can take the Scripture and can show why we believe what we believe. And so we have a doctrinal belief on the creation. We have a doctrinal belief on the fall of man, how man sinned against God. He fell from that perfect, innocent state and fell into a time of rebellion against God. And God had to clothe him with the skins of animals that shed their blood, which was the first type of redemption through the shed blood, which would later come through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, we believe what we believe about the virgin birth, about our Lord. If there's no virgin birth, we have no Savior. If we do not have that, then there's no salvation at all. And then the forgiveness of sins. We have a doctrinal belief of how the Lord forgives us and what He does for us, and how that salvation is free to whosoever will, let him come and let him drink of the water of life and to partake of the things that God has for us. And it's freely open to anyone that will believe. And the Lord will make the Word of God effective in our heart. And I believe in effective salvation. I believe in effective gospel. And He makes it effective to us and makes it real to us. And not just a head knowledge, not just an understanding of a set of facts, but He makes it real to us and makes it effective in our life. And that's salvation. We have a certain belief about the church, what we believe the church is. It's a group of people that have come together to worship the Lord. It's a visible body of Christ. It's a visible group of people. And sometimes we have differences of opinion on what the church is. Different churches believe different things. And so we have an assurance tonight because of what we believe that the Bible teaches us and about these different things. I've got three or four more here listed. We believe in the preservation of the saved. God's going to preserve us. He's going to make us to the point of where He has will one day deliver us, because those whom He justified, the Bible says He glorified. Now, we're not glorified yet, but in the mind of God, He put that in past tense. And so, therefore, we will one day be preserved in the Lord. We believe certain things about about government. So the Scripture has a lot to say about the government of mankind. And we have a belief, the resurrection, what we believe about the coming of the Lord, what we believe about missions. All those things are belief system that Grace Baptist Church has and most Baptist churches have. Maybe I shouldn't say most, many have. Baptist churches are moving very far away from the principles of the Word of God. And just because I would dare say anyone looking, I'm glad I'm not looking for a place to go to church because it's very difficult. It's very hard. And so tonight, just because it has a name above the door doesn't mean it stands where we stand or stand where the Word of God stands. And I have found that sometimes I've had to correct some thoughts in my mind because of what the Scripture said. This is final authority. What we believe comes out of this book here. It doesn't come from somebody handing it down through centuries and ages ago. It doesn't come down through the from the church fathers. And there have been some very brilliant men that have pastored churches and wrote books. But we don't get our system of belief through their thoughts. We get our beliefs through the thoughts of God and through the Word of God that I believe He has preserved to us perfectly in our English language that we can understand truly, completely who God is, how to get to heaven. And what's any more important to know who God is in Jesus and how to get to where He is? What's more important than that? And so we have all those things given to us, and that's what we believe. That's our perception. And everything that I look at in the world, I look and I perceive it through my beliefs. It's called a worldview, how we look at the world, and it's much different. It's amazing how four or five people can see the same thing and see something different. And the reason for that is because we have a preconceived set of facts or a preconceived idea, and therefore everything has to match our preconceived ideas. And so what we believe about this book will determine how we live. What we believe about this book will determine the things that we do. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all these are of God, who hath reconciled, he's made us back together. He has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us a ministry of reconciliation. I don't believe we ought to ever be a divider. I believe we ought to be someone that tries to bring people together to reconcile the differences. We know that God, these things that I gave you first, those are biblical principles that we could spend weeks upon those teachings. And maybe sometimes we ought to get back just to the basic things to realize what we really have from the Lord. So those things we find, we have, the Bible gives us. But I want to give us some things now that we know personally, that we believe and we know, because John says if you're going to have assurance, you got to know some things. Well, tonight I want to make sure that we know, as a believer, God has changed our lives. He's made a difference. He's changed my thoughts. He's changed my ways. He's changed my actions. And the Bible says there in verse number 19, we know that we are of God. The whole world lieth in waste, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. We have an understanding that He's made a difference in my life. He has changed us. He has given us a new life. We know that we are of God, and the whole world is in wickedness and sin, but we are of God. That's where that sanctification has come in. He's taken us out of the world that's in wickedness, and He's put us in His kingdom. He's put us in His, I guess the better term to understand, He's put us in His family. We're a family in the Lord, and everybody that is saved, that's living right now upon the face of God's earth, we're in the same family if we're born again. And so the Lord has taken us from the wickedness of the world, and He has made us a new creature. He has changed our lives, and completely He has reworked us, and our life is more abundant. Our life is much better. In the Gospel of John, same author, same human author, the Apostle John, in John 10, the Gospel, and verse 9 and 10, John says, I'm a debtor. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in, or I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and they have it more abundantly. So Jesus said here through John's writing, he said, I am the door. Now we know what a door is. It's a door to keep you in or to keep you out. But it's also a door that will open for you to come in or out. And so Jesus said here, I am the door, and if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Jesus gives himself as an illustration. I'm the door. You go through me and you'll find rest. You'll find victory. You'll find a change in your life. So we have a change. God has changed my life. God has changed your life. Can you imagine what you would be if it was not for the grace of the Lord? Can you imagine where you'd be? I don't want to imagine that. I don't want to know where I might be. But thank God for His grace. Thank God one day I saw the open door and He said, come, enter in and I'll give you life. And praise the Lord, we was able to do that. Our lives one time was vain and empty, and we didn't even know it. Didn't even realize how vain, how empty we might have been. But He comes to us on purpose, and we hear the gospel. He pricks our heart and makes us realize something's wrong in my life. And then He shows us what can make it right. And that, of course, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. All of our hope is wrapped up in Him. So our assurance tonight comes not only from my position in Christ, it not only comes from my possessions, what He's given me, but my assurance comes from what I know has happened in my life. The change that has taken place, the perception of what we believe. It's not just a set of facts of those doctrinal things I gave you, and those are factual things, but it's things that happen on the inside. It's things that happen to us individually as a Christian, and we know that we have passed, the Bible says, from death unto life. Now, that's just opposite of what we normally think about. We think about a person lives and they die. And that's what happens physically. But spiritually, we are dead. And then the Lord comes and makes us a child of God. And we have life. We have passed from death into life. And that's all through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24. But this man, because he continues ever hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost. I'm glad my Lord is able. Somebody say, oh, I've done too much for the Lord to save me. No, He's able. I've gone too far down the road. No, He's able. I've sinned too much. He's able. And He tells us right there, Hebrews 7:24, wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession. We dealt with that the last time, 2 weeks ago. We dealt with that, his intercessory work, how that the Lord, that's that advocate work that he does. He intercedes for us. And Paul tells us in Hebrews that he ever liveth to make intercession. So we know that he's changed us. We know that he has come to us. We know that what truth is. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know what truth is? I hate to be lied to. I hate to be deceived. And the Bible tells us that the devil is the master deceiver. He's the one that clouds our vision. He's the one that clouds our minds, our thoughts. And he deceives us. But I'm glad, thank the Lord, that we have truth that's given, and that truth makes us have life and liberty. 1 John 3:19 says, And hereby we know, there's those that little phrase again, that's one of the verses in 1 John. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. Assure, assurance. We get that term that we have truth that is given unto us. The Holy Ghost comes inside and He lets us know what truth is. Somebody says, how can I understand the Bible? We got the best teacher in the world. It's not the preacher. It's not an evangelist. It's not some commentary. The best teacher we have is that Holy Spirit that lives in our heart. And we may not understand a lot of things, and there's a whole lot of things I don't understand. But I'm glad that what I do understand, He has confirmed it by His Word. And the Holy Spirit gives us an understanding. And there that verse that we read, and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. We can know Him. That's an understanding that He gives to us. And the Holy Ghost on the inside of us convinces us what's truth and what is not truth. He's the comforter that's come unto you and I. And so we have a truth. We have these things that we know have changed us. We know that we are secure in Him because of who He is. 1 John 2:5. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. That word perfected there, just put out beside that, matured. It's not perfect. We're not perfect. We'll never be perfect. We'll never be sinless. We'll never be without sin. If somebody comes along to you and tells you that they have not sinned in 10 years, just say, well, you've just sinned now because you've lied. Because we are not sinless. We will never be sinless. But that word there in 1 John 2:5 says, verily is the love of God perfected in us, matured in us, come to full grown adulthood. Hereby know we that we are what? In Him. That goes back to the first point. What do we have? Where are we? Our position? We are in Him. We are in Christ Jesus. And so we know that we are in Him because of that perfect love, that perfected God, that perfected message that He has given to us. We have that word sanctification again. There is a positional sanctification. That's where we are. We're in the Lord. He has taken us out and of the world and put us in Himself. And so at the moment of salvation, we are placed into Christ. It's not a gradual thing. It's not a worked up thing. It's not something that just all of a sudden you realize it. No, but when we get saved, we are positionally placed in Him. And in Him is no sin. And so therefore we know where we are. If our sin is in our flesh, it's not in Him. It's our flesh. And so we realize that we have been placed in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. This is one of the most controversial verses in the Bible. It's 15 different ways of people look at it. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all, or been all made to drink into one Spirit. One Spirit, one body. One church. So we find here that this verse tells us that by the Spirit of God, the word baptized there means we've been plunged into. We have been plunged under. We have been overtaken by the Holy Spirit of God. And we have been placed into the Lord. It doesn't matter if we're Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter if we're bond or free. But we've been made to drink of that Spirit, that Holy Spirit of God. And so Paul was writing to the Corinthian church. That's the key. He wasn't writing to conglomerate of everywhere. He was writing to a local church. And he told that church of Corinth, says, you are all baptized into the Lord. You all had that same thing by the Holy Spirit. And that body of Christ there at Corinth, Jew and Gentile both was in that. They had the mixture. Because of that early church, they began to mix together. They had some that were in bonds at one time. They had some that had been free. But they'd all been made equal in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad tonight we're all equal with the Lord. There's no big I, little you. It's just in Christ through the Holy Spirit of God. And so these things that we know have happened to us, these things that personally have come into our life, help us to know that we have assurance in Jesus Christ. Fourth thing, last thing. Our assurance comes from knowing our prospect. That's the future. I'm glad I know some things about the future. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I know some things about my future. I don't know everything about my future, but I know some things about my future. That's what we shall be. It's what's going to happen in the coming days. We look for His coming. We're studying the book of the Revelation. And that certainly is a book about His coming. This next Sunday night, Lord willing, we'll be in chapter number 6. Begin to open the seven-seal book. First four seals are tragic upon this earth. And it's called the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And every horse is a different color. Every horse has a different rider. And all those things introduce to us one thing, that the Lord is coming. And so tonight, we know that our prospect is that He is coming. I don't know when He's coming. I just know He's coming. So therefore, I know a little bit about the future. I know He's coming. He may come tonight. He may not come tonight. Sometimes I'm praying for my disappearance more than I am His appearance. I'd say, Lord, just get me out of here. Get me out of the mess. I'm saying, dear God, get me, leave. Let me leave. And so I'm praying more for my disappearance than I am His appearance. But when He appears, we're going to disappear. And we're going to look into that in these Sunday night sessions. So we know He's coming. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 8 says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and of them that look for Him shall He appear the second time. For everyone that's looking for Him, one day He's going to come. One day He shall appear, the Bible says. And the second time without sin unto salvation. What an exciting time it is to know that Jesus is just on the horizon. John 14:3, and if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again. That's the Lord's words. That's His words. Those are given in our Bible. And if you have a red letter edition, those words are in red because Jesus is doing the talking. If I go to prepare a place for you, and He's already told them there in John 14, He said, I'm going to go prepare. If I go prepare, since I'm going there, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. And so we know He's coming. Acts 1:11, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven. I don't know how anybody can deny the coming of the Lord. I don't know how anybody can deny the second advent or the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord Himself, He's not going to send an angel, He Himself is going to come. And the Bible says that He shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then it goes on, we which are alive remain shall be caught up together to be with them. What a wonderful thought that is. I know my prospect. I know what's going to happen. Don't know when, but know it's going to happen. Isaiah 25. This almost reads as if it would be a New Testament verse. There's almost as much, and there may be as much, in the Old Testament about the Lord's coming the second time as there is in the New Testament. Listen to Isaiah. Isaiah 25, verse 8. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of His people shall He take away from off all the earth. Well, His people have been rebuked, aren't they? They're being rebuked. The Jews, they're hated. But Isaiah said the Lord's going to take away that rebuke from all the earth. For the Lord hath spoken it, verse 9. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him. Well, the Jews waiting for their Messiah. It's so sad they missed Him the first time. Jesus said, I come into my own, and they didn't receive me. But thank God He says to as many as will come and will receive. But Jesus said, when He comes and they realize who He is, they're going to say, lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him. He will save us. This is the Lord. The word there is Jehovah. This is Jehovah. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. There is a day, praise the Lord, there's a day coming when the Jew shall recognize the one whom they pierced. And they're going to weep and they're going to cry and they're going to be amazed at how they were deceived. And Isaiah said they're going to say, we've waited for Him and waited and waited. In this period of time, back here on that chart, it says the church age, all that there, all the trumpets and the seals and the vials, that's that age we're part of what we're living in. They didn't see Him. We're living in that church period of time that God blinded their eyes to that because they rejected Him. But one day He's going to come and they're going to say, there's who we've been waiting for. They're going to see Him. They're going to recognize Him. The Bible says they're going to recognize Him whom they pierced. And then it says there'll be a nation born in a day. And that word born there means reborn. That means salvation. So we know some things about our prospect. We know what's going to happen. We know that when He comes, our loved ones that have died before us, they're going to be raised. We know that. Why do we know that? The Word of God. I know that. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then, when which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. They're going, we're going, when He comes. We know also that there's going to be a change takes place. This old body has to be changed. It can never stand heaven. This fleshly body could never imagine, could never stand the glories of heaven. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. It's been a mystery up until this point. We shall not all sleep or remain in the graves, what that means, but we shall be changed. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Now, when we put a body in the grave, it is corrupted, and it is corrupting. It finally deteriorates, and as the Scripture says, it goes back from whence it came, to the dust of the earth. That's the body. But the Lord says when He comes again, He's going to change that body. He's going to raise it in incorruption. It says, and we shall be changed. There's twice that word is used there in this passage. 1 Corinthians 15:53. For this corruptible, that's this flesh. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. That means perfection. We'll be perfect then. Not now, but then. And this mortal must put on immortality. We are mortal beings. We live, we breathe, we die. And when He raises us again, we're going to be raised immortal. That means we'll live, we'll breathe, and never die. And that's because of what Christ has done for us on Calvary. We are Christian. And this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. We shall see Him as He is. One of these days, I don't know when, but one of these days we're going to see the Lord. I've never seen Him. All we have, artists, nobody knows what the Lord looks like. I do not believe He's that effeminate, featured individual, long flowing hair that is pictured to us. I believe He's a real man. I know He was a Jew. I know He was dark-headed, dark-eyed. We know those things, but we don't know His facial features. Isaiah said He's not even good, not even comely to look upon. He wasn't someone that you would say, oh, look at Him. That's not the Lord. But when He comes again, we're going to see Him as He really is. He says, 1 John 3:2 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. We are the children of God, and it doesn't appear upon us what we're going to be. But notice what He says here. But we know, there's that phrase again. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. However He is, that's how we're going to be. You say, well, is everybody going to look like... No, that's not what that means. But when He appears, we're going to be like Him. We're going to be perfect then. We're imperfect now. We're mortal now. We're corruptible now. He has gone into heaven in a body. Ye men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing? This same Jesus, as you've seen Him go, He left physically, He left bodily. He's coming again the same way. And the Bible says He's going to change my vile body to be fashioned like unto His glorified body. So I'm going to be just like Him. That's our prospect. That's our future. And where He is, we will be. Psalm 17:15, "For as me, I will behold thy face in righteousness." David says, only what I can talk about is me. As for me, David says, I will behold your face. David says, I'm going to look upon the Lord. Now notice the next thing he says, I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. That's an Old Testament scripture that points to something that has not happened yet for you and I. But David says, I'm going to behold your face. I'm going to look upon you. I'm going to see you. And I'm going to be satisfied with what I see. And when I awake in thy likeness. Boy, I tell you what, we have a good future. This old world doesn't have anything to offer in comparison to what God has for you and I. Just as David said that, you can say tonight as a believer, as for me, I will behold thy face. And when I see it, I will be satisfied. When I awake with thy likeness. That's a wonderful verse. Psalm 17:15. What a prospect we have. One day we're going to see Him and we're going to be just like Him. 2 Timothy 1:12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless," Paul says, "I'm not ashamed." Paul's pretty positive too, for he uses that word "no." He says, "For I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." What a wonderful thing we have in the assurance of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 1:12, I believe every Christian ought to learn that verse. We ought to know it. Especially that last portion where it says, "For I know." As a child of God, "For I know whom I have believed." Do you know who we believed in? Sure we do. Paul says, "For I know whom I have believed." And then he says, "I am persuaded." The word "persuaded" there is a pretty strong term. He said, "I'm convinced. For I'm persuaded that He is able." Thank God He's able, I'm not. "I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have." What have we committed to the Lord? Our life. Our very being. The Lord, some of the disciples were distraught one day, and some of them left, and the Lord looked at the rest of them and said, "Are you going away too? Going away too?" And I think it's probably Peter, I'm not sure, but probably Peter said, "Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words of life. Where is there to go if we don't go to the Lord?" And so we ought to be persuaded and know that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. What is that day? A lot of things. I have committed unto Him against that day. My day of death, I'm persuaded. When He comes again, I'm persuaded that He's able to keep me. The Bible says He's able to keep us from falling. Oh, we stumble, we grope around, we have so many problems in our life, but He's able to keep us from falling. Praise God tonight, that's the assurance that 1 John tells us about in these words. Our position, our possessions, those are all very important. Thank God for our prospect. What's in the future? That's why I say we have a bright future. The world can be crumbling around us, but for you and I, we have a bright future. If we know the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the brightness of our future. Let's stand together tonight.